WMFO in Medford.
Cure beef patty, lettuce, tomato.
You really think that just because you have an idea, it belongs to you?
You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
He mixes different quotes of people and a wide variety of songs, very, very freeform, which is the point of WMFO.
Push it right to the edge.
I got an unbelievable story to tell you. Absolutely incredible.
I know you like two things I like. Chicken and chicks.
Just after me and John took it, Sue came up. Of course, it hadn't yet started to take effect, but right then, I got bad feelings. There's no going back, though. As soon as it's in your mouth, you've committed yourself, so to speak. Sue thought I owed her emotional support in her times of need, but I had decided I didn't want to sleep with her anymore. I didn't know how to tell her, so I just ignored her. After she finally left, red and blue squiggles began peeping out of the cracks on the wall. I didn't feel too good. My mouth was dry. I wanted to throw up. John turned on the TV and selected an empty channel. We watched the snow, waiting for a poltergeist. I slumped down in my chair, and the screen dripped to the floor.
Freak sucks.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this show's producer, WMFO, its staff and management, or Tufts University.
You had the power to be all good, all wise, and all powerful. Why would you make the world you have now?
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
I was not drunk. I was on pills.
My show, I can do whatever I want, so I am.
I want you to trip like I do.
And let's not kid ourselves about this. I believe very sincerely and deeply in LSD as a sacrament and the psychedelic way of life. The chances are that I'm wrong, because as a visionary prophet, you know, it's 1 out of 100 that you're right and 99 out of 100 that you're a nut. That's the chance of the game, but history will tell.
Wow, your story is very compelling.
Get your own show. Play your own music.
Funnel these layers. Built up on top of one another. Like a sandwich.
Layering different sounds on top of each other. Layering different sounds on top of each other.
Computers can do that?
There was a peasant woman named Maimuna, and she lived near the sea. And Maimuna was always praying, and her manner of praying was to say, Maimuna loves Allah, and Allah loves Maimuna. And one day, as she was doing this, a saint walked by. He heard her saying, Maimuna loves Allah, and Allah loves Maimuna. And he said to her, no, no, that's not the way to pray. And he told her the words one should say and went on his way. The saint had a rug, and he placed it on the waves and climbed onto it and went sailing out into the sea. Maimuna stayed behind, trying to pray as he had told her, but she forgot part of what he had said. She saw the saint moving away out into the sea on his rug, and she ran down to the edge of the water and began to call after him. He did not hear her. Then she began to run across the top of the water until she got to the rug where he was sitting. "Excuse me," she said, "would you mind telling me again how to say that?" He stared at her and said, "Don't think about it. You're a greater saint than I am. I have to have my rug if I want to travel on the water, but you can do it on foot."
There is unrest in the forest. There is trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight and the oaks ignore their pleas. Thank you.
Welcome to the Tears of the Gods sound collage, only here on WMFO. In Medford, Tufts Freeform, non-commercial, community, and even sometimes educational radio. Oh yeah, that's right. This is not just a radio program, it's a sound collage with audio clips from who knows where, mixed in between and on top of the music that always matches a theme in one way or another. And in this episode, we are bringing you a theme called Stories, featuring the progressive Canadian rockers Rush, who had the same trio lineup from 1974 until Neil Peart's sad death, aged 67, on January 7th, 2020. They're absolutely outstanding musicians, and their drummer and lyricist Neil Peart is known for writing some of the most literate lyrics in rock music. In particular, in the second hour, we'll be hearing the entire first side of their 1976 epic album, 2112. Tonight's theme is also very personal for me. In place of most of my usual audio clips from who knows where, movies and TV shows and the like, I've included excerpts from a short novel I wrote my final year of college. I got two bachelor's degrees, one in computer science and one in philosophy. And I wrote Dare essentially as my senior thesis for my philosophy degree. In the intro set, we heard an excerpt from the very beginning of Dare that sets the scene by talking about taking LSD, lysergic acid diethylamide, acid, that powerful hallucinogen, most popular in the 1960s, but it was available when I was in college. It's been decades since I've tripped, but it's had a truly profound impact on my life. I think in mostly good ways. Some of the most absolutely beautiful experiences I've ever had, as well as some of the, oh yeah, completely scariest, have involved LSD. If you're interested in understanding how consciousness and perception work, I believe that psychedelics can be incredible tools towards that end. Described by some as gifts from the gods, but they're definitely not something to be just taken casually. And let me reiterate right now our disclaimer about the views and opinions in this sound collage not necessarily being those of Tufts University, WMFO management, or even the producer. That'd be me. In that intro vignette about me and John, I was also playing the guitar behind it, a piece from 2002 I composed called Playing in the Pasture. And there's going to be another excerpts from Dare coming up through tonight's music mix. And all our ambiance this evening, that's the music or sounds that I play during the breaks when I'm talking, that's going to be from the 19th century Czech composer Anton Dvorak, who was a real bohemian, yeah, capital B, known for taking his country's folk music traditions and turning them into, well, symphonies. So as far as the other things in the intro set that we heard, some excerpts from Woody Allen's Manhattan about stories, and then excerpt from psychedelic pioneer Timothy Leary. And then from Paul Bowles, a short story, Mauna, from The Storyteller and the Fisherman, which I found here many years ago in WMFO's World Music Collection. And then our featured artists, Rush and The Trees. Right now, yes, Anton Dvorak. This is the Largo from his Second Symphony. And shout outs to the usual suspected listeners, Chuck and Diane and Arthur in Medford, up in Beverly, John Fisk and Tim Coleman in Arlington. And then down in Smithtown, New York, Philip, Dylan, and Ryan. Although I did send out that parental advisory. Yes, a lot of... there'll be discussion of sex and drugs, and there'll be rock and roll, as well as jazz and bluegrass and pop music. I appreciate the feedback I received from John and Philip about last week's reverse ambient spring pieces by Wendy Carlos and Vangelis. Yes, weird sounds never heard before by humans. That's what we like to explore and discover, new sonic sensations. In the next set, we're going to be hearing all songs that tell a story. So, yeah, listen to the lyrics. They're going to be story songs from the Steve Miller Band and Jenny C. Reilly and the Presidents of the United States of America and even Elvis Presley. And, of course, one from our featured artists, Rush. But we're going to first start off with the seed crystal for this theme. A traditional English song that I've played for you before. There's a couple of different versions, but it dates back to at least 1613. And this song really affects me emotionally when I hear it. I always want to cry. I always want to get through it. It's just like the public service message that we're going to close the set with. Another one that I think has a real emotional impact for me. Yeah, what can I say? Listen to the lyrics in what we're playing, but particularly this next song, Doc Watson's version of Matty Groves, kindly brought to you on these 91.5 FM airwaves from Chuck Hughes' 2014 Music on My Radio Holiday Gift DVD. Here on WMFO now for you. Here's the God Sound Collage.
Was on the high holy day, the very best day in the year. Little Matty Groves had gone to church, holy words for to hear, holy words for to hear. The first to come down was dressed in red, and the second one dressed in green. The third to come down, Lord Daniel's wife, as fair as any queen, just as fair as any queen. Then Matty Groves says to one of his men, see the fair one dressed in white. Although she is Lord Daniel's wife, I'll be with her tonight, I'll be with her tonight. Well, the little foot page was a standing by, and he heard every word that was said. He says, Lord Daniel shall know tonight, before I go to bed, before I go to bed. He had 15 miles far to go that night, and 10 of them he run. He run till he come to the broke down bridge, then he bent to his breast and he swum. He bent to his breast and he swum. He swum till he come to where the grass was green. He took to his feet and he run. He run till he come to Lord Daniel's gate. He rattled at the bells and the rung. He rattled at the bells and the rung.
What news, what news? Lord Daniel says, what news to me have you brung? Little Maddie Groves is in the bed with your wife, and their hearts both beat as one, and their hearts both beat as one. Now if the truth you've told to me, a rich man you shall be. But if a lie you've told to me, I'll hang you to a tree, I'll hang you to a tree. He gathered him up, about 50 good men, he done it with a free good will. Then he popped his bugle unto his lips, and he blowed it loud and shrill, he blowed it loud and shrill. I'd better get up, said a little Matty Groves, I better get up and go. I know your husband is coming home, for I hear his bugle blow, I hear his bugle blow. Lay down, my precious one, lay down and go to sleep. It's only my father's shepherd's horn, and he's a-calling for his sheep, he's a-calling for his sheep. So they lay down together again, and they soon were fast asleep. And when they awoke, it was broad daylight, Lord Daniel at their feet, Lord Daniel at their feet. Get up from there, you naked man, and put you on some clothes. I never intend for to have it said that a naked man I slow, that a naked man I slow. Oh, give me a chance, said little Matty Groves, a chance to fight for my life. For there you have two very fine swords, and me not as much as a knife, and me not as much as a knife. Oh yes, I have two very fine swords, and they cost me deep in the purse. You may have the finest one, and I will take the worst. Yes, I will take the worst. Then Matty Groves struck the very first lick, and he wounded Lord Daniel's sword. Lord Daniel struck the very next lick, and he drove Matty Groves to the floor. He drove Matty Groves to the floor. And then he taken his lady by the hand, and he set her on his knee. And he says, now which do you love the best, little Matty Groves or me? Little Matty Groves or me? Very well, I like your rosy cheeks. Very well, I like your chin. But better I love little Matty Groves than you and all of your kin. Than you and all of your kin. You can dig my grave on a pretty green hill. Dig it wide and deep. And put little Matty Groves in my arms, Lord Daniel at my feet. Lord Daniel at my feet.
Hoo-hoo. This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do than sit around the house, get high and watch a tune. Here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to Pueblo, El Paso. I swear they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run. Yeah.
knows just exactly what the facts is. He ain't gonna let those two escape justice. He makes his living off of the people's taxes. Bobby Sue, whoa, whoa, she slipped away. Billy Joe caught up to her the very next day.
Up on the level, or you're just making it up as you go along?
I want to tell you all a story about a Harper Valley widowed wife who had a teenage daughter who attended Harper Valley Junior High. Mama got a note here from the Harper Valley PTA. Well, the note said, Mrs. Johnson, you're wearing your dresses way too high. It's reported you've been drinking and are running around with men and going wild. And we don't believe you ought to be bringing up your little girl this way. It was signed by the secretary, Harper Valley PTA. Well, it happened that the PTA was gonna meet that very afternoon. And they were sure surprised when Mrs. Johnson wore her mini skirt into the room. And as she walked up to the blackboard, I can still recall the words she had to say. He's away. And Mr. Baker, can you tell us why your secretary had to leave this town? And shouldn't Gwitta Jones be told to keep her window shades off or completely down?
Just me and John, it didn't go that well. Paranoia set in pretty early, and although John tried to talk me down, it was a traumatic experience. But when we came off it, I realized how absurd it had been. Dan came over and asked us how it was. Powerful stuff, we told him. He was pretty interested. It didn't take me and John long to convince ourselves that it would be a lot different if we were doing it with a pillar of stability like Dan. We took some more and began setting up our toys. Candles, aluminum foil, and Kool-Aid. We lit the candles and turned out the lights. I put on Tangerine Dream and we waited. It felt a lot better to start with. John sunk into his chair and smiled behind mirrored glasses. Dan sculpted aluminum foil. I watched the movie. I saw a face in the speaker. Who was it, I wondered. Who did I want it to be? I answered. Like everything else, it's what you want. Dan invited me to join him in a candle. We dipped our fingers in the hot wax, examined them as it solidified, and then melted the wax off in the flames. As our ritual developed, I realized that the pain was only as real as you wanted. But because it was real anyway, Dan and I were sharing something important that John, sitting over there, wasn't. And John knew it too. So I suggested that we go outside and look for it. It, said John. What is it? Dan liked the idea, but John wasn't sure. He was afraid, and I was afraid, but I wasn't afraid of my fear like he was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. Because I really didn't know what it was, and I was sure John didn't, because that's why he was afraid. But Dan seemed to, because he wasn't afraid. But he wouldn't tell me what it was, or even do more than just hint at it, because he thought I knew what it was, or so it seemed, or so I hoped. So we went outside and we walked in the shimmering slush in which there were these marvelous arabesque patterns that I felt bad about stepping on and breaking because they were so 3D, until I realized that you couldn't break them, you could only change them. And John wanted to know if we were coming to it yet, so I asked him if he thought we were coming to it yet. Dan liked that because he laughed, and I knew it was me and Dan against John. And where we were then, the field was below us about 30 feet. So I told John, it could be over the edge. Why don't you go look? But he was really afraid, more so than before, which was hard, but it was easy because Dan had laughed and he didn't know where I was coming from, even though he sort of suspected, I think, like I suspected, because just then it occurred to me that me and Dan were trying to get him to kill himself. Or if he wouldn't do it, we'd have to do it for him. All because he was afraid, which was why he deserved to die. So he didn't want to look over the edge, because if he didn't throw himself over, then we might. But he couldn't very well not look over the edge, because that's where it was, and he couldn't be afraid of it, not when we weren't. And besides, we were his friends, and didn't he trust us? So he had to. But then I realized that I had been afraid before, and he, John, had helped me. And if I was afraid, and he was afraid, who was Dan to try to get him, John, to kill himself just because he was afraid? And I realized that it should be me and John against Dan. So I told Dan that we should all look over the edge to see if it was there, because I wasn't sure either. And then Dan admitted that he really didn't know himself, and I knew he lied, so I was sure we should make him die. And so we all walked over to the edge. But as we got there, I realized I was in the middle, and maybe it was them against me. So I backed off and John laughed and Dan laughed, and just to show them I wasn't afraid, even though I was more terribly scared than I had ever been, I laughed. But I wasn't convinced and I didn't think they were. And Dan asked me, are you going to look over the edge or aren't you? So I said he should look over the edge first and tell me if he saw it. And then John said the same thing and Dan laughed at the both of us because he really was afraid. But he couldn't let us know, even though right there, he gave it away worse than he ever could have.
Tiki God, save me. I got caused so much trouble. But Greg tried to throw it back in the ocean. That was a rumble, an awful commotion. Don't ask me how, but the Tiki found Bobby. He thought the honor was some Hawaiian hobby. Turned out the god was mean and vicious. Didn't respond to Bobby's three wishes. Now, no, he had a Tiki god. Saved him. He had a Tiki. So when you're caught up in an evil plot, your life's in danger and you can hear the shot. Your head is spinning and you're fading fast. How long do you think this kind of fun can last? Your luck will change with a simple motion. I found my idol in a bottle in the ocean. He split the cloud to fight the sea. It shows those evil guys how nasty those cheeky guys can be. All right. He had a cheeky guy.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing she don't need, is another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. People, don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns. And a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries. As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies, on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries. Thank you.
Canned vegetables. Bingo. Okay. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on. Help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want them.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This evening, our theme on the Tears of the Gods sound collage is stories. Featuring the Canadian trio, Rush. We began the set with a very soulful song, a traditional English song dating back to at least 1613 called Matty Groves. There are a lot of variations of it, but that one was performed by Doc Watson, and I was first introduced to it on Chuck Yu's 2014 Music on My Radio Holiday Gift DVD. And then we heard from the Steve Miller Band, Take the Money and Run, off of an album that I'd say is perfect. Every song really rocks. It's a compilation, the Steve Miller Band's greatest hits from 1974 to 1978. And then we heard a top pop hit from 1968. By Jenny C. Riley, the Harper Valley PTA. And then it was an excerpt from a short novel I wrote as my senior thesis for my philosophy degree from Dare, Me, John, and Dan. That was a very crazy story about people tripping on a hallucinogenics on LSD and all the crazy thoughts going on. Yeah. Be careful. And then it was the Presidents of the United States of America with Tiki God. And then Elvis Presley followed with In the Ghetto, one of his number one hits. And then from Rush's Moving Pictures album, Red Barchetta, story of a automobile that an uncle left for his nephew in the future, and the trouble that people get into with these internal combustion engines in the future. All of our music, our ambiance during the breaks is coming from the 19th century romantic Czech composer, a real bohemian, Anton Dvorak. And right now, we are listening to his Romance for Violin and Orchestra in F minor. So it's springtime, as we've celebrated for two previous weeks here. And at my house, we've got two Japanese cherry trees that that bloom in the front. And over the course of years, I've gone ahead and harvested some of those cherry blossoms, and in different ways, well, the Japanese way, I preserved them, making pickles out of them. And this year, I decided to do it again in an even bigger way. And I actually made two different variations, one with the traditional rice vinegar, which is milder, and some salt. And then another one with regular white vinegar and salt and sugar. The first one has some sugar, but this one has more. And I had some yesterday in my soup, and just divine, exactly what I was looking for. It's a subtle flavor, but they're wonderfully beautiful, and the vinegar that's left over that's in the jar has turned a beautiful pink color, and that's something I can for sure use after I'm done with these wonderful cherry blossom pickles. And also, one thing I wanted to mention as we talk about stories, Ernest Hemingway, American author, Nobel Prize winner for literature, he composed what is a very short story, just six words. Here it is. For sale, baby shoes. Never worn. Okay, so we've got another half hour-ish long set for you coming up. And it's going to include another traditional song, English traditional song, as performed by Led Zeppelin off Led Zeppelin 3. And then we're also going to be hearing from Joni Mitchell, The Last Time I Saw Richard, and the Dixie Chicks. As they do Earl in. We're going to conclude with a story about a young man who becomes a rock star, only to have it end in a sad way by bad company. And some more excerpts from Dare. Also, a story wrapped up around the one-minute public service message, another one of those. But first, let's start off with the always dependable Johnny Cash. Here, he's telling a story about a boy named Sue here on WMFO in Medford.
Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? Now you gonna die. I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and He went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah, he said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, 'cause I'm the son of a bitch that named you Sue. Yeah, well, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, any damn thing but Sue. I still ain't that man.
UMFO in Medford.
Hangman, hangman, hold it a little while. I think I see my friends coming, right a many a mile. My friends, you get some silver. Get a little gold. What did you bring me, my dear friends? Keep me from the gallows pole. What did you bring me? Keep me from the gallows pole. I couldn't get no silver. I couldn't get no gold. You know that we're too damn poor. Keep me from the gallows pole. I've told you to keep you from the gallows pole.